evolved into a support services-based agenda. As such, we are trying to provide services to the fishing industry of Massachusetts, as that's been our limitation. It's been a Massachusetts program since day one. We're hoping to see this expand through other other states as well, because, I mean, everyone is suffering under the same restrictions and cuts and harmful situations that the fishermen find themselves in. This is one of the few benefits that's been allowing for about 17 years now as part of the fishing partnership, Massachusetts Fishermen's Partnership, and now, like I say, the fishing partnership support services. The support services the fishing partnership has provided or is now providing safety training for fishermen. And we've had four classes, I believe, this year with nearly 300 fishermen going through those programs. Been held in New Bedford, Gloucester, and on the Cape. We have several more scheduled for New Bedford at the end of February and just prior to the start of the groundfish year. I don't actually have the dates, but they are available on the website. Also included as part of their services now attempts to provide a human resource type of approach for the fishing industry. The fishing industry, with its uniqueness, doesn't exist like most businesses or large businesses where they have a human resource type of office or service that they provide. We are trying to fill that role. There are four offices currently: New Bedford, Gloucester, Scituate, and Chatham, where people can go to seek any kind of information that they're unable to locate themselves. Oftentimes, it's kind of daunting to try and find somewhere so you can go to learn where you need to go to get what you're looking for. So oftentimes, you don't even really know what you're looking for. The women that staff these offices are all fishermen's wives and have an intimate relationship with the people and the industry. So I encourage anyone from the industry, it's not just fishermen, but anyone who can document or claim that their livelihood or their family support comes from the fishing industry is welcome. While we are strictly a Massachusetts organization, we have provided services for out-of-state fishermen who are currently fishing in Massachusetts, probably most specifically with the safety training programs that we provide. One of the great places that we have to use is the SMAS facility in New Bedford, where they have the tank for the survival suit training and other situations like that. So it's something I cannot encourage fishermen anymore to attend these classes. And I'd like to point out, even though someone has gone through this course once, you're talking about your life. You're talking about your family's dependency upon you returning home safely. So it's something you cannot practice enough. And the best part of it really is it's free. I mean, they even provide a free lunch. Where else in the industry going to find a free lunch today? I don't know of any other places. So I would encourage everyone to that has a question or an interest in this to try and find the office closest to you and see what they can do to provide for you. Like I say, there's no other free lunch in town. So thank you very much.
Jim Odlin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is James Odlin. I work for Atlantic Trawlers. We own and operate five groundfish vessels. We're a family-run business. I want to take a moment to comment on something I've had an ongoing concern about, and that is this council's relevance. I fear that this council is on the verge of becoming totally irrelevant. And I've attended many stock assessment meetings, peer reviews, SSC meetings, in person or by webinar. I've read many PDT reports, TCC team reports, over the past few years, and I have to say it seems quite clear that more and more major policy decisions are being made downstream. I think these include and are not limited to the proper F rates for a stock of fish, the catch strategy that's being utilized on how to pursue that stock of fish. So I urge this council to reinstate itself in a dramatic way in making these policy decisions. It is the council's right and responsibility to do that. And I, for one, in the industry, in spite of what a lot of people say, want this council to be relevant. I think it's an important part of the process. So that was my comment, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you. Drew.
Yep. Drew Minkiewicz, Fishery Survival Fund. I have a question. I believe it was the September council meeting. Terry Stockwell made a motion that was passed by the council looking for the development of objective standards and judging stock assessments. And I was wondering what the status of that, us getting a response on that was.
Dr. Carp.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Drew, we've been working with headquarters on a response to this because we view it as a national issue as opposed to a regional issue. I've been recently in correspondence with a new chief science advisor for stock assessments, Richard Mathot, about this. And I'm still concerned that we haven't developed something that is clear enough to bring forward. So I'm continuing to work with him to try and resolve that. I hope that can be done between now and the next meeting of this council.
So hopefully we'll have something reported to us at the next meeting. That's the plan?
I hope so.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Ron?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I know we're all hungry, so I'll be quick. One of the things that I'm worried about on the science end of things is that it's that story about the frog in the frying pan. If it's hot, it jumps out, but if it just slowly warms up, I don't think we fully understand at all the magnitude of the shifts that are taking place out on Georgia's Bank, and I don't think our research program is informing us of those shifts. And I think we need a real paradigm shift, if you will, to understand the ecological shifts. And I'll just give you one example. I believe right now that the yellowtail is spawning on deeper water on the southern flank of Georgia's Bank, which means that the eggs are coming up into the Gulf Stream and heading over to Ireland as opposed to going into the gyre. And I'm asking myself, do we have any research program out there to look at that hypothesis? And I can't think of any. I mean, we're put that together based on an RSA project that's short-lived, but I think we really need to understand what's going on out there, and we can't do it with just a few big research ships and tight budgets. We should be using our commercial fleet and really start thinking about what are the questions we need answered and how we could use our commercial fishing vessels, which could use the money, to go out there and answer those questions. I mean, right now, I have the fishing vessel Polaris is out there doing a bycatch survey. I'm going to go to sea February 8th with the ROV to look at some winter flounder spawning activity. I have another that's on the Edgartown. Have the fishing vessel Diligence going out February 15th to do some bycatch reduction testing of fishing gear. Have the fishing vessel Vanquish going out beginning of March to do bycatch survey work. I mean, four fishing vessels out there with crews that are learning how to do science and collecting data that's very important. I just really think that we need to sit down, start putting in the new questions, and start seeing how we could use the fleet to answer those questions.
Thank you. Anyone else? Ted?
Ted Platts, Newport, Rhode Island. I'll be brief because I'm hungry too. I wanted to talk about dogfish for a minute. As you spend the day tomorrow dealing with how you're going to cushion the blow for what's happening in the groundfish fishery, I think better management of dogfish offers one opportunity that will at least have an impact in southern New England. We have the dogfish fisheries presently open right now, and what we have happening is that day boats are fishing. Because they can land their dog, it's worth it to go, or their dogfish, yeah, it's worth it to go out there and land codfish. What's happening by having dogfish available in the second 8 months of the fishing year is you've doubled the X value vessel, or the X vessel value of a trip. If you're catching 3,000 pounds of dog, you're getting $600 at the dock. For 4,000 next year, it works out to about $800. Two boxes of codfish right now is worth about $1,000. Large cod, 800 or so for, say, a medium cod. So by apportioning the dogfish throughout the fishing year, you're creating a lot of economic opportunity for small boats. You're doubling the value of that 3,000 or 4,000-pound day of dogfish. It happens in the summer, and there's no bycatch. There's not really much incidental catch, and it's a very marginal day, economically speaking. By harvesting it from October through April, you're doubling the value that you're getting on the shore side and to the fishermen of that same 3,000 or 4,000 pounds of dogfish. So I think that we need to look at working with the MID and the ASMFC as to how we make this work in New England, because as ground fishermen struggle in the next year, this is going to be a way to put some money in people's pockets without really taking any more fish out of the sea, just changing the timing of things. And I think it's worth getting the ball rolling on that now. For people in the common pool, they need to think about groundfish day at sea use starting May 1. So if people know this is coming, they can plan for it. The sectors, the considerations are a little different. But I think it's a much better way to utilize the dogfish FMP than what we're presently doing. And this year we've seen it happening. There are boats cod fishing for the first time in a long time because they don't have to wade through thousands of pounds of dogfish. They get to keep them. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. We will break for lunch at this point. Let's try and be back at 1:45.